Welcome back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Humat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Hey, welcome back for hour number two. Dr. Samara Humat, Dr. Jerry Mixon, and yours truly. Whether you like it or not, you're stuck with me. It's kind of a bummer, but that's okay. Hey, I love it. I have so much fun. I often say Saturday mornings is my work dessert because this is just fun. I love knowing that people are getting better and getting their questions answered.
It's Jerry's main course and your dessert.
Cool. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's your main course all week long. Same patients. That's right. We've got a couple of lines open. If you would like to call in right now, call us with your questions at 800-465-8770. 1-800-465-8770. Anything goes, as long as it's about health. You don't want to get Jerry started on politics. We could be here all day.
Mm-hmm.
So here we go. Let's go to Susie in Bellevue. Hey, Susie. Glad you called.
Hi there. Thanks Hello, for taking Susie. My call. I'm calling about my daughter. She's in her 40s, and she's starting her 15th week with COVID effects. She's known as a long hauler, and I'm just starting to see more articles about it. She's on four Facebook groups, and there's thousands internationally and in the U.S. under 40 and older. But her main current issue is it's still so serious. It's the breathing. She can't take a deep breath. She feels like a brick is in her chest. If she walks upstairs, and they have three flights in her house she's renting, it's 130 heartbeat and back muscle pain and exhaustion. She has headaches, cough, hand tingling, rashes. They come and go, and they're less of a problem. It's the breathing and this heartbeat. She's in she's never been sick before. Her tests, and she's now moved to UW because they're so much more proactive than a clinic she was going to in Seattle, which was almost useless. Mm-hmm. So she's had recently two COVID tests because people won't see her like in a dentist if she broke her crown unless she's had them. And she's negative, of course, because it's so long.
Sure.
She's on a steroid inhaler twice a day. The virus caused a bacterial infection, so they put her on an antibiotic, and she felt a little better with that, but that was only 5 days. She's had two chest x-rays, which are clear, CT scan, blood test, blood pressure. She's seen a pulmonologist. She's going to see a cardiologist early July, and she even tried acupuncture, and nothing is giving her relief. So I'm just wondering. Sometimes she'll feel a little better, and then the next day she can't get out of bed. Or, you know, things come and go with COVID, as you know. It's not a steady improvement or decline. Mm-hmm. It's just...
Right.
But I mean, after being on 15th, she's on zinc and she's on immune factor and she's always taking vitamins, and all her tests are perfect. Blood pressure, everything,
yes.
Her blood tests are right on. So do you have any other suggestions that she can try?
Not a lot. Here's our problem with this syndrome. She is no longer an active COVID patient, obviously.
Right.
She got infected. She survived the infection. Her body suppressed it. It's gone. The virus isn't there anymore. What
right.
she's dealing with now is the damage that has been done to her body during the time she was infected. And even young people who get a significant infection can have serious and often permanent damage to their lungs.
That's what I'm worried about, that in her heart.
Yeah, and You know, the cardiovascular tree, and it's not just the heart per se, it's the arteries. The lining of the arteries, because of the severe inflammatory reaction, you can end up with a lot of almost nodules kind of scattered through the arterial tree that decrease blood flow. And you can get significant damage done to the lungs that is, from what we're looking at now, is probably permanent. I mean, we don't know it's permanent because, you know, if it's still there in 20 years, you know it's permanent. But with her, it's only been a matter of months. So we we think it is likely going to be long-term or permanent damage. You know, in which case, really, what she's going to need to do, and I hope they have done this. If they haven't, she needs to request, have a pulmonary evaluation, get pulmonary function testing done, see what her lung capacity is. You know, we have nomograms for a person of such and such an age and such a height, because it's a height weight thing. The higher, the taller you are, the more lung capacity you should have. The heavier you are, the less lung capacity you will have, because the fat in your belly raises your diaphragm and decreases your ability to take a deep breath. Mm-hmm. But we know what her lung capacity should be, and what we need to do is to measure what it is. You know, they can actually have her take the deepest breath she can and then blow it out as hard and fast as she can. And we can measure how much air can she hold, how much air can she blow out, how fast does it come out. That tells us about the elasticity of the lungs. Okay, what is her flow rate? And then you can track that. You can measure it now, and you measure it in 3 months. Is it getting better? Is it not getting better? We can actually get objective measurements to this. And so,
and is that
somebody
a pulmonologist
with,
that does that, or the cardiologist is going to give her a stress test, which I don't know how she can do. But
well, the stress test is going to measure how well her heart puts up with it. But how well the heart puts up with it is in large measure due to how well the lungs can provide the oxygen that her heart and muscles need to function. So I would start first with a pulmonologist.
Well, she saw a pulmonologist, and unfortunately, they said she needed to get in as soon as possible. And when she was talking to the person, he knew very little about COVID, and it turns out he's only been practicing 2 years. And he mainly did a chest x-ray, and that was it.
Yeah.
So he did not suggest that, which is interesting.
But with her symptoms, with the fatigue and shortness of breath, I want to know what is her lung function. You know, if you don't measure, you don't know. And her symptoms are telling me that.
So with the cardiologist, she'll get some information, and then she should go back to the pulmonologist, maybe one with more experience, and have a lung function breath test.
Yeah, tell just be upfront. Say, I want pulmonary function testing. Okay, that's what it's called. Give me some pulmonary function tests. How are my lungs working compared to other people my age and size?
And I've had that test, so I know what you mean. Her 15-year-old also, she's the first one that got it and brought it in about mid-March.
Yeah.
And then my daughter got it, and she was in emergency room where she couldn't breathe, elephant on her chest, and she was on the steroid inhaler, but she got over it.
Yeah, and most people do, but not everybody. Yeah, and so you've got to do the testing. That's just all there is to it. And you've heard me say it before, and I will. No, first diagnosis, then therapy. You know, if she's having restrictive lung disease, the medications are different than if she's having obstructive lung disease. And so if there's scar tissue and fibrous tissue in the lungs that are preventing them from expanding, that's different from having lungs that will expand, but then she can't contract enough to get the air out. So
do you have any
different
idea
medications.
When she did the acupuncture, why after that, maybe for half a day or a day, she actually could take a deep breath, and then it wore off.
You know,
so she's going to do
no
that
idea.
Every week, just hoping up. But is there any reason that helped?
Yeah, I don't know what acupuncture does. I have seen video, even way back in medical school, of people doing major surgery under acupuncture anesthesia. acupuncture clearly does something, but it doesn't follow any pathological or physiologic role that I have ever learned about. So I can't explain how it works. I just know that in some people it seems to work really well, and other people it seems to be worthless, and I don't know why.
I've heard that it releases some energy that can be blocked in certain parts of your body. I don't know.
Yeah, the problem is that when I look at the traditional Chinese explanations for it, and it talks about the flow of qi and the qi channels, I say, where the hell do I find those in a...
Your medical books,
I this is one of those large areas of life where I kind of say something is happening and I don't know what, and I simply have to plead ignorance and move on.
There's an infectious disease doctor that I've heard talk, and he's part of, you know, people that are speaking, because he also is like her, a long hauler, and he said he's been all over the world. He's even had one other of the bad, you know, COVID kind of like that we've had around. Uh-huh. And he said he has never had anything like this. It's just undescribable because there's no path that's predictable. You don't necessarily get better. You think, oh, I'm having a good day. And then you start walking to get some exercise and you can't get out of bed for 2 days. I mean, it's so difficult for the doctors to really know what to do with it, I think.
It's almost as though it has triggered a chronic fatigue syndrome.
Right.
You know, which does that, where people will, they'll go out and they walk 2 miles and the next 3 days they're in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is the art and science of medicine, and sometimes both our art and our science is lacking. Mm. We just don't know enough.
And with that, Susie, I think Dr. Mixon's counsel is again right. If you don't measure, you don't know. Get her lung capacity measured. It reminds me.
And probably more than once. Measure it now.
Yeah,
and then see where it is in 3 months. Is it getting better? Is it getting worse? Is it staying the same? I mean, this makes a difference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of Jack Welch, who was that's right. One of the greatest entrepreneurs, business savvy guys, who said, if you don't measure, you can't manage. It's the same principle.
Mm. That's right.
So anyway, there you go, Susie. We got to go.
Okay, well, but, thank you very much.
Glad
you're
welcome.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Let's go to North Bend and talk to Steve. Steve, are you there, sir?
Good morning.
Good morning. How can we help you?
Well, I've got this ringing in my ears. And have had it for a while, and I keep searching around looking for something that'll either minimize it or make it go away completely.
Sir, can I quickly ask you, are you on a speakerphone?
Yes.
Please pick up the phone. No speakerphones. It's very hard for people to hear you. But I think we did. You're dealing with...
tinnitus.
Ringing in the ears, yeah.
Tinnitus. Yeah, the problem with tinnitus is that most of the time we never really make a firm pathological diagnosis. We don't know what's causing it. I guess the best explanation I can give for tinnitus is you've heard of people that lose an extremity. They lose a hand, they lose a leg, and they continue to have pain in that extremity, the phantom pain. That's kind of what tinnitus tends to be for most people. As we age and as we live our robust lives, we damage our hearing. We lose certain frequencies of hearing. As people age, they lose their high frequency. Men lose high frequency faster than women do. One of the social consequences of it is, as you get older, you can't hear a woman's voice as well. Women think we're ignoring them. We just don't hear them. That's the problem.
That's convenient, right?
It is.
We're ignoring them.
That's right.
That's actually excuse, and I'm sticking with it.
That's right. Yeah, we do. Those of us that have been in the military, you know, I have lost high frequency in my left ear because I fire a rifle from the right side, and my left ear is facing the muzzle. And that's, you know, that just happens. Soldiers lose high frequency in their left ear. when you lose a frequency sound, you the ear can no longer hear that particular frequency. Sometimes the brain will fill in that. It's like the phantom pain from losing a hand or losing a leg, is you actually start getting this noise, and it's not really coming from the ear. It's coming from the neurological, so from the brain. And so it's a phantom sound. Some people will get that from things as simple as too much earwax in an ear. They plug up their ear, they decrease the hearing coming from that left or right ear, and the brain starts filling in background sounds. And if you clear out their earwax, the tinnitus goes away. So there can be a variety of causes. There can be damage to the nerves. There can be damage to the blood supply. There can be tumors along the nerves. Mm-hmm. So anytime you've got tinnitus, what you need to do is have a good ENT guy. Take a close look, do some studies, make sure you don't have a tumor. Find out what your hearing frequencies really are and how sensitive you can be. And see if they can fix it.
Does Sunil mm-hmm. deal with that, mm-hmm. right? Northwest Face, Dr. Sunil Umat. Dr. Samira Umat's right here. Her husband. I mean, he's the best there is, Northwest Face.
So there's call. Yeah, you can go in and get evaluated and find out. Most of the time, they'll do your whole evaluation and they'll say, beats me, we don't see anything. Mm.
I have to say, over the last 21 years of doing this program, getting calls about ringing in the ears is a bit frustrating because it's really hard to do.
Because frequently you work it up and you never find a cause, and it's just there. But sometimes you do find a cause.
Yes.
Sure.
And if you find a cause, then you can do something about it.
And the phone number for Northwest Face is 206-525-2525. No, they're not a sponsor. But I've got family members and myself, we're patients at Northwest Face, nwface.com, if you want to just check them out online, nwface.com. But again, the number is 206-525-2525. All right, we've got to go to a break, but I want to tell you, I've got Dr. Dan Nelson from Pro Ortho on the line. Last week, we said we were going to talk about it. He had an issue. He was back east at a conference or something. We're going to ask the question, what on earth is arthritis? I had a friend about 8 or 9 days ago say, hey, deal with this on the radio. I want to know, what is arthritis? How do you get it? How do you deal with it? And if Dr. Dan Nelson can't deal with it, nobody can. So we've got him. Coming up right after the break. Welcome back. It's about 9:20. Pete Talbot here, and I've got Dr. Samira Umat, Dr. Jerry Mixon with us. Leading Edge Medicine, a very, very appropriate name for this show. And it's also very appropriate that we have Dr. Dan Nelson with us. Dan, are you there, sir?
I am here, Pete. Good morning.
Hello, Dan.
Hey, Dan.
Hey,
good morning.
Hey,
there
Jerry.
We go.
Dr. Umat.
You know, we haven't had you actually in the studio for like 3 or 4 months, but
I know. Social distancing. I miss you guys.
Yeah. But we're making up for it. We're making up for it.
Yeah,
and,
we are.
And this sounds just, you know, it is what it is, but you've helped me with my low back. I was told nothing could be done. Several doctors told me I just have to live with the pain. You fixed it with stem cell therapy. Won't go into all those details. You helped my right shoulder. But my right knee for the last year and a half was just getting worse and worse and worse. I would walk about 4,000 to 5,000 steps in a day. And by that time, I could barely lift my leg even to step up on a curb. Really nasty. Just to make a long story short, I went to Dan and said, listen, we got to deal with this. It's really getting bad. Can you do stem cell therapy? And he said, well, maybe you can do stem cell therapy, but that what we need to do is evaluate your knee. And so he did his thing, an MRI and x-rays and stuff like that. And Dan, what was it, about 2-3 weeks ago, you did the shot in my knee?
I think it was. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. I'm not exactly sure what you did or what you shot or where you shot it, but I've been golfing, not a tinge of pain. And you told me that that could last a week, a month, 6 months, a year or two. We don't know, but all I know is whatever you did, Dan, wow, it's night and day.
Is this a trial of Depomedrol or something, Dan?
So, actually, this was, we did some Depomedrol, Jerry, along with Serapin. I don't know if you're familiar with Serapin. Serapin's a natural anti-inflammatory derived from the pitcher plant or a type of pitcher plant. So, kind of using a little natural along with the steroid just to give it a little extra staying power. Now, granted, we don't know how long this will last, but the next step probably would be at least a PRP injection. I'm hoping, Pete, that, you know, this doesn't come back, but obviously we got to have, you know, in my toolbox, we got to have plan A, plan B, plan C, and so on. So, well, but right now I'm delighted that you're doing great. That's awesome.
Well, it's serious. My walks were such that there's times where I often felt like calling Vicky to come get me because I couldn't make it back. And yesterday I golfed in the morning and then I walked another 8,000 steps in the late afternoon and not a single tinge of pain. It's just so great. So that's thank awesome. You for that. That's just one of the many, many reasons why people ought to consider letting you take a look at what the issue is. But the question before us, Dan, is that I had somebody text me about 8 or 9 days ago, asking the question, what is arthritis? How do you deal with arthritis? Why do you get arthritis? And I couldn't think of a better guy than you to answer the question. So what is arthritis?
Well, we have about an hour to talk about it, right?
No.
Right.
Yeah.
That was my reaction, by the way, when he said you were going to call and ask. I said, You see, are we talking about traumatic arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, autoimmune arthritis, osteoarthritis? What are we talking
about?
All
the above. But the most common form that most of us get is osteoarthritis. Now, there's features of the other kinds of arthritis as well. Arthritis just means chronic inflammation, inflammation of a joint, but usually in osteoarthritis is chronic inflammation. So that means there's this toxic soup of inflammation in, let's take the knee, for example. So we just know that knee's just, you know, smoldering with this toxic soup. There's things going on there. What we know for sure is that the stem cells that are there in all your joints when you're young, they're great. They're keeping up. And we actually have, we know that there's, stem cells are working great up until about maybe 30s and 40s, and then they're not keeping up. We have remodeling of our bones and our cartilage while we're young, but our stem cells are not keeping up for whatever reason. Our joints are getting depleted of stem cells. So it's really not complicated when we do stem cell therapy. We're just taking stem cells from the bone marrow, which you have plenty. Everybody has plenty of bone marrow stem cells or you wouldn't be alive, and we just take those out of the bone marrow and put them in a joint, and that does amazing things. And there's these cells called senescent cells. Dr. Mixon could probably talk circles around me on that subject, but senescent cells kind of take over, and senescent cells are kind of like zombie cells. They exert influence in secreting substance on the surrounding tissue that are detrimental. And we know that if we have stem cells, that they kind of help keep get rid of those stem cells. And young people get senescent cells, but they get rid of them right away. Whereas as we age, those senescent cells kind of stay put. Those zombie cells stay put and create things like a chronic inflammation. Now, I'm very much oversimplifying it to make a case that the stem cell therapy goes in and kind of turns back the clock. It's amazing how this works. And so this chronic inflammation that people are getting, we can kind of dial it back to a point where they have the stem cells working. And we know for a fact that when we put those stem cells by injection therapy into a joint, for example, that they stay put. The studies have shown that if we can even put it in a intervertebral disc that has a very poor blood supply, we know for a fact through a very well done study that those stem cells will stay alive and working for at least 6 months in a in a tissue that has very poor blood supply. So it's just kind of like, it's one piece of it. And again, this is a discussion that could take 2 or 3 hours and we still wouldn't even scratch the surface. But, the stem cell therapy is here to stay. It's gonna, oh, and I wanted to shift gears a little bit, hearing a little bit about the cognitive decline, dementia discussion earlier. I mean, this is a big thing. I tell people, you know, you got to keep moving because sedentary lifestyle, if you get arthritis and you start becoming sedentary, that doesn't help anything. And that actually probably contributes to, and Dr. Mixon, I know you'd agree with that. So my job is to keep people moving, you know, and keep them golfing in your case, Pete, and doing what they love to do.
Thank you. Yeah. You and I've been out golfing even. Yeah.
Well, you know, that micro trauma that comes from exercise actually stimulates growth and repair, and it activates the stem cells. It also, though, the micro trauma increases macrophage production, which destroys the senescent cells. So increasing the macrophage load with the exercise helps get rid of the senescent cells, which in turn then enables the stem cells to be more active, because the senescent cells poison the stem cells. Active stem cells get rid of senescent cells. So it's an ongoing balance. And you're right. In young people, the lifespan of a senescent cell is only about 2.5 days. Macrophages clear them in about 2.5 days. In older people, once you're 60, you're making 5 or 6 times as many senescent cells, and it takes 2.5 weeks to clear each of them.
Wow.
So going from 2.5 days to 2.5 weeks says it's, you know.
And you're making more.
And you're making a lot more to start with. So your senescent load is much heavier when you're old. That in turn is preventing your stem cells from working as well. And which is why I want to give you some papers, because I think the ideal would be to hit it both ways. You start by suppress the senescent cells. Then you add the stem cells, and I'm going to bet you'll get an even better response.
I think that's absolutely true. Interesting studies on Dr. Mixon, I don't know if you know, in mice they've done experience where they're able to eradicate stem cells senescent cells.
Yes.
But those mice grew a lot of tumors. So we know, at least in the younger age group, that there's a purpose for the senescent cells, because they're
absolutely
kind of apparently a watchdog for tumor formation. So they do serve a purpose. But that whole balance gets out of whack as we get older. We're too many senescent cells with nothing to do except make us miserable with arthritis and other things.
So. And that's why the goal is not to get rid of all your, but you want to reduce the senescent cell load. Older people need their load reduced by about 3/4, but you want to keep about 1/4 of what an old person has. What you want is to have the same level as you have as a young person.
Absolutely.
You want that 25-year-old, that 30-year-old range. You don't want to get rid of it. You want to bring it down to a healthy young person's range.
And we are now making this therapy available at Longevity.
Yep.
But
only for our patients.
Oh my
gosh! Not for the general public.
Yeah. Well, no, obviously.
you can't just say, yeah, I want to go to Longevity and get rid of my senescent cells. No, you have to do Longevity's thing.
That's right.
And in the process, we'll get rid of your excess senescent cells.
Well, that's part of the holistic approach that we're taking. So where else can you get that therapy?
But occasionally, we have somebody who will call up and they just say, well, I just want testosterone, or I just want estrogen, or I just want, you know. I said, no, we do a holistic, we approach the entire person, the entire system. That includes the senescence, but it's not just senescence.
So, Dan, can I ask you a quick question?
Sure.
My annular tear, I was told by a couple of different doctors, you found a second annular tear that you dealt with the stem cell therapy. Was that... That was just a tear. That wasn't inflammation back there, was it?
Well, the tear can cause some inflammation. So there's an inflammatory response that kind of there's a, you know, which you need inflammation. We need inflammation to survive.
Exactly,
it's just this chronic inflammation that does us no good and just makes us miserable and has deleterious effects on our whole body.
When the previous doctors told me there was nothing I could do about the annular tear, And again, you found the second one.
They were wrong.
They were just flat out wrong. But they expected me to live the rest of my life in this miserable pain and never golf again, right? And so, anyway, it's just so frustrating.
You know, people, including doctors, have this impression that chronic pain is a benign condition, and that's absolutely not the case. Chronic pain has a very significant impact on your overall health, and we know this from numerous studies. If you have chronic pain, there's some great studies with people with compression fractures, which are normally in the older age group, particularly women with osteoporosis, that those compression fractures, and a lot of their primary care doctors say, well, you know, just, you know, bed rest, take some pain pills, and, you know, it'll eventually heal itself. Sometimes they never heal. Plus, the morbidity and mortality of untreated compression fractures is significant. The mortality is within 2 years, the patients often get like pneumonia or other life-threatening things, and it's just kind of the beginning of a cascade of bad things. Fortunately, now the Medicare is realizing that and knowing that, or now we're able to tell, you know, through these recent studies, tell Medicare, look, this is, we got to treat these people, and we can treat compression fractures in a half-hour office procedure at ProOrtho, which, I'm just putting that little pitch out there. You've been told by your doctor that you can just live with this, don't accept that. You need to either take issue with that or find a new doctor.
Yes, indeed. In fact, I just want to point out also my shoulder. I had four surgeries on my right shoulder. The fourth surgery was about 8 or 9 years ago, but it never really solved the total problem. You dealt with that about 6 months ago, totally pain-free. So here's the deal. To the people listening right now, you have a knee issue, a shoulder, a back, a hip, whatever it is, wrist. Don't go to a surgeon. Maybe ultimately you'll wind up there. Go to Dr. Dan Nelson, because he will do the diagnosis. Like with me, I said, Dan, give me stem cell in my knee. And he said, no. It could be a whole lot simpler than that. But you don't want to go to a surgeon who basically thinks about knee replacement, like we often hear. So that's the benefit of a Dr. Dan Nelson, who actually do the diagnosing first to determine what's best for you. So anyway, Dan, I'm glad we caught you. Thank you.
Yeah, well,
glad
you
called in.
It's good to hear you guys. I can't wait to see you all in person and do this actually in your studio there. And,
we'll see.
And especially to see Dr. Guillemette on the radio. Good to hear your voice. And, you know, I've told you this before. I'm a longevity patient. Dr. Guillemette is my doctor. And I'm very happy with that. I hope I don't ruffle any feathers by disclosing that.
No,
the air.
No. In fact, I'm glad you're smart enough to be a patient at longevity.
You know, when I started this 20-some years ago, you know, 90% of the doctors around were thinking, oh, this was voodoo, this was terrible. Now we have a fair number of physicians as patients, you know, including Dr. Nelson. It's nice to be the clinic the doctors come to.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Yeah.
And pain, Dan has dealt with pain for 30 years. That's his specialty. So you don't need to go to a knee replacement specialist. First step is, if you don't measure, you don't know. Let him measure. Let him diagnose. Because it may not be replacement. That's the smartest thing for you to do. Anyway, here's his number. He's in Totem Lake. So here's his number to call to make an appointment. 425-823-4000. That's 425-823-4000. Do what I did way back when, and give it a call and just simply make an appointment. 425-823-4000. Dan, thank you much. Say hi to Bernadette.
Thank you, guys.
And hopefully we'll see you out on a golf course
pretty soon.
Take care.
Good to talk to you.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
When we come back, we'll start taking some more calls, which means you need to call right now. We've had such a good time taking other calls and now talking with Dan Nelson. We have all the lines are open. You call right now, boom, you'll be next. Call us at 800 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. All right, 20 minutes before the hour. Don't forget, I told you about an hour and a half ago that Bia emailed me and told me the number of health analysis appointments that are available. We have 11 in Kirkland through July 24th. We have 15 in Tacoma through July 31st. And then we have 14 in Linwood through July 17th. So there's not that many, but we're just telling you flat out what we have, and they are available on a first-come, first-served basis. So those include all of those free health analysis appointment, includes the two free tests, the blood test, and also the special in-body testing, which is fascinating, and along with $100 of free longevity supplements. So grab one of the free health analysis appointments. Go to our website, lmclinic.com, lmclinic.com. All right, let us go to Missy in Bellevue. Missy, welcome to the show.
Hi there. I just heard your discussion about senescent cells, and I had just recently started taking a life extension product called Senolytic Activator, which is supposed to deal with that problem. And you take two pills once a week, and it basically is a, there's a description for that somewhere, highly absorbable form of quercetin phytosome and black tea thia flavins to enhance the body's ability to manage the cells. And it tells you how much it is. Let's see, the quercetin is 74 milligrams, and the theaflavins are 275. And you take two of these pills once a week. But I read the research, but I, after hearing you say, well, you don't want to kill everything, how do I know how to take the right amount so I don't kill all of them?
Well, I can guarantee that with that low dose of quercetin and little theaflavins from the black tea, you are not going to kill much. So.
Yeah, I'm really glad you called because I was asked this question recently. I have somebody who's taking it as well in the clinic, and I looked it up and I thought, very interesting. Smart of Life Extension to get on the bandwagon very quickly, though.
Yeah, well, and he does, though.
Well, I've been taking quercetin, like 500 milligrams of quercetin every day for a long time. And it's, you know, it's, well, it's good quality quercetin, but it's standard quercetin that I've been taking forever. So what I have been doing since, after I read all the information, was I still take the two regular quercetins 6 days a week, and then I take this on the seventh day of the week.
Yeah. Okay, well.
So how similar is that to what we will be doing at Longevity? Or are doing that longevity.
Yeah, it's pretty piddly compared to what we do, really. Falloon is a great guy, and Bill wants to live forever. He's very upfront about the fact that his personal goal is immortality.
Okay.
Yeah, he owns Life Extension. Yeah, he started it years and years ago, and
what's
his name? Bill Falloon, F-A-L-O-O-N.
He writes the editorial article for every magazine.
Yeah, for Life Extension magazine. Nice guy, and he and I exchange emails on a semi-regular basis. In fact, he just invited me to plea. In fact, not invited; it was more of a plea to send in a series of PowerPoints. Presentations because he wants me to present at some of their meetings. But I can't honestly support that particular supplement as being terribly effective. It's okay in laboratory testing, but when you look at human studies, if you really want to knock down senescent cells in elderly people, you need something a lot stronger than tea flavins and quercetin.
Sure, but you know, I mean, to be able to just offer something over the counter.
Yes.
Well, that's just, wow.
Yeah. I mean, and he can make a good profit, and he may at least slow the accumulation, but he's not going to significantly reduce the number in an older person's
cells. She's probably doing more for herself with the quercetin that she's taking on a regular basis with this complex, yes. To be very honest.
Well, that's true. Yeah. The quercetin that you're already taking is probably 500 milligrams a pill or thereabouts.
Yeah.
Compared to the 70 some that you're getting in the capsule.
It's one 500 milligram pill every day.
Yeah, right. So you're getting a good dose of quercetin. The studies are showing, however, that quercetin seems to stabilize and inhibit the formation of new senescent cells reasonably effectively. The desetanib, the drug that we use, is so-so at reducing them, but not real effective. But the combination, for some reason, the quercetin working with the desetanib together, 3 days worth of therapy reduces your load by about 35%.
Yeah, they referenced that desetanib in the research, and they're using the tea instead, so they're not taking it in the
Right. Well, it's not.
Pharmaceutical.
The desetanib is not only a prescription drug, it's an antineoplastic. It's actually approved for treating chronic lymphocytic leukemia. So it's a very potent drug. And if you get it at the regular pharmacy, it's very expensive, too. Mm. But we've arranged to get it through Paramount Pharmacy very inexpensively. And so, you know what? It's about 90% cheaper. What would cost $2,500 from the regular pharmacy, Paramount can get for us for $250.
Huge.
So, yeah.
It's huge.
But
it still is a pharmaceutical rather than a natural. I mean,
it certainly is. Yes, and you have to have an MD write the prescription. You can't buy it over the counter.
Right.
But, you know,
if you have side effects like all pharmaceuticals do.
Sure, everything. Like. But so do many of the over-the-counter things. I once took a high dose of quercetin and had a rather unsettling reaction myself. I took 2,500 milligrams of quercetin and just knocked my libido right to the floor. So, you know, I was not a happy camper.
And with that, Missy... Thank you for your call. We got to go to a break or we're in trouble. But this does remind me again today already. We've had several people on their speaker phones. And we're not going to accept calls any longer from people on speaker phones. So
until they start to talk, how can you tell?
because we can tell DJ back in the studio can tell. And I've been communicating with him. Speakerphones may be convenient for you, dear folks, but when you speak, the rest of the listening audience struggles hearing you.
We struggle too.
And we struggle too. And it's just bad radio. So thank you for just calling like regular. That'd be great. In fact, with that in mind, when we come back, we're going to talk to John in Spanaway about BMI. And then we're going to talk to you because we've got another three lines open. You call, you'll be right after John. Call us at 800-465-8770. 1-800-465-8770. Hey, we got 9 minutes to go before the end of this hour. Little reminder, between 10 and 12, we're on another station. We actually go for 4 hours every Saturday. 2 hours here on 770 KTTH, and then another 2 hours on another station in town. If you want to find us for all 4 hours to figure out where that is, simply go to our website, lmclinic.com, and on the top of the page, there's a podcast button. Punch it, tap it, tick it, whatever you want to do, and you will find where we are for all 4 hours. Again, lmclinic.com, push the podcast button, and the good news there is all of our programs are on there so that you can go back to last week, last month, whatever, and listen again to anything that fits your fancy. So if you hear something today that is really important to you, you can listen to it again, or you can call your mom, your brother, your coworker, a friend, whatever, and say, hey, Joe, hey, Sally, you need to listen to what Dr. Mixon and Dr. Umat said at 8 o'clock Saturday
morning. Hopefully their name is actually Joe or Sally.
Yes, and if...
Or if it's not, we can fix your dementia.
That's right. Okay. What can I say?
I'm speechless, too.
Yes, okay. All right. Let us go to Spanaway and talk with John. Hello, John. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I'm wondering, I hear you guys talk about BMI, and I wonder what that is, how do you determine it, and what's a good number?
Okay. BMI is a very imperfect evaluation okay. Of your body fat. Well, it's imperfect in part because it was developed for the federal government. And they never do anything very efficiently. It's a simple ratio. It looks at your height, your weight, and your age. Right? And it's a nomogram. And you type in BMI on image in your computer, and up will come this chart. And you look at your age, you look at your height, your weight, and it gives you a number. Yeah. If your number is between 20 and 25, you are, quote, of normal weight. 25 to 30 is overweight. 30 to 35 is obese. Above 35 is morbidly obese.
Okay. Wow.
The problem with this number is it goes by weight, not by percentage of body fat. If you're very fit and strong, you're going to have a lot of muscle.
Which is heavier.
Muscle weighs four times as much as fat.
Oh, four.
For any given volume.
Okay.
All right. So if you've got an extra 2 cubic inches of muscle on your entire body, that's the equivalent of 8 cubic inches of fat. All right. So your BMI can say, oh, your BMI is high. You're obese. Well, no. According to my BMI, I'm obese. Okay. But I have a percentage of body fat down in the teens. I just have a lot more muscle than I'm, quote, supposed to have at my age, because I have a 25-year-old man's hormone balance. So that muscle gives me a high BMI.
And it's not just because of your hormone levels. It's because you also watch your diet. You also exercise.
And I exercise regularly. That's right. Yes, sure. So, you know, when I do my InBody, it tells me that, oh, you got 25% more muscle in your arms than you're supposed to have. Well, too bad. I like having extra muscle in my arms.
So when you just mentioned
the fat.
Well, body fat can be measured by several different ways. We do it at our clinic with what we call an InBody, and we actually measure the amount of muscle and fat in each leg, each arm, and in your torso. So we've got a device that you stands on it barefoot, and it measures your from your feet and your hands, and it does an electrical impedance thing that sends it back and forth between arm to arm, leg to leg, right arm to left leg, leg to right leg to left arm, etc. Okay. And so we have an electronic impedance thing to develop that. The other way, of course, is to stick you in a water tank and do a water displacement study, and we can calculate, you know, how much fat to muscle.
We do not do those.
We do not do that.
Yeah. But the InBody is just a fascinating piece of equipment, and it's one of the two tests that we give in the free health analysis appointment. It's really critical to know this stuff.
So if you come in for a free health analysis appointment, you'll find out what your body fat, but also what your BMI is. So we calculate both. We give you the official government BMI, but we give you a more accurate body fat too.
Hey, that's great. Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Thank you very much. Yeah, it sure does.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You very much. Have a safe week.
Thanks a lot, John.
Take care.
Yeah. Hey, and again, I want to make really clear, the in-body test is just fascinating because, as you said, Jerry, it does your right arm, your left arm, your right leg, your left leg, and your torso. So we measure when patients come in quarterly, let's say approximately, we measure.
Yeah, about four times a year we check and we track it.
Yep.
And that way, if somebody tells the doctor, oh, yeah, I'm walking 5 miles a day, and we look at their legs and say, no, your muscles in your legs are smaller. You're sitting on your butt.
Yeah.
It makes it hard to lie to the doctor about your exercise.
Yeah. And also, if my patients are on a weight loss program or are doing something on their own or with our help, then we measure it more frequently. It only takes a few minutes, but our patients have the ability to come in every month if they need to.
And some do.
Some do, yeah.
It really is cool. Very sophisticated. We have them at all three of our clinics. And it is, again, it's one of the tests that you get. The other is the A1C blood test.
Mm-hmm.
And easily done. And with the results, like with the in-body, you get the results right there during your health analysis appointment. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the blood test.
That's right.
You get the response right there and then. So again, that's why we get excited about these free health analysis appointments, as should you, because you will have data in your hands for your brain to make intelligent decisions about, okay, I'm having these issues, and these issues, and then you know what your options are. So it is exciting. If you'd like one of those appointments, we've got them on our website, and you make your own appointment. 95% of the people who make these appointments do it on your own. Go to your website, go to your computer, and go to lmclinic.com. Push the health analysis tab there. It's right in the middle of the page, of our homepage. You can't miss it. And the three clinics will show up on your screen. Tacoma, Linwood, Kirkland. Select the clinic that is best for you, let's say Kirkland, and the Kirkland schedule of free health analysis appointments will be right there on your computer screen. All you do is click on the appointment that's best for you, like Tuesday at 2 o'clock, Wednesday at 10 a.m., that sort of thing. You just click on it and it's yours. And we hope you'll do it. You not only get the two free tests, but you also get $100 of free longevity supplements. It's kind of a no-brainer, folks. That's why we don't have that many left. But you can get yours at lmclinic.com. Hey, again, check us out for the next 2 hours also at lmclinic.com. Push the podcast button. And we'll see you next week if you don't join us for the next 2 hours. Have a wonderful weekend, one way or the other.